I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew podcast. The real TikTok. All right, today we got episode 6, season 2. And I'm really looking forward to this one, man, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of hostility, a lot of animosity on this show. But today's episode is called, "Hey, Coach, we eventually grow up, cuz." So we really just wanted to do this show, man. We kind of touched on a lot of it and throughout the podcast, but just kind of listening to a lot of student athletes, whether we were in Texas or whether we were in, Northern Arizona, or just kind of all the crazy stuff that's been going on just in the past decade or so with coaches, that coaches players relationship. So, I think sometimes, and remember when we were in Texas and Buddy was like that same coach that recruited you, now treating you like Stucky, basically. And coaches, to me, I think they get it twisted sometimes. Like, they're dealing with younger adults. And then eventually, we grow up. And I think sometimes that just gets missed. So instead of like molding, cultivating, inspiring, they just kind of are living in that moment. And that's where some of the verbal abuse comes from.
Yeah, it's kind of like you really don't know how much of an impact you're going to have on this person like 3 years after they're done playing, right? I think you just take in that moment, I got you, and, after you're gone, the next batch is coming in, and it's like you don't have time or realize, like, dang, I wonder what kind of effects I'm having on them down the line.
Yeah, I mean, and, the stories of the coaches being disrespectful and the ones that we kind of know about and the world might know about that have made, like, national news, obviously. Coach Bobby Knight in Indiana, we all know how his temperament was, all those incidents with the players, the coach from Rutgers, Mike Rice, who was talking crazy and throwing balls at the players, literally throwing basketballs at the players in practice that was caught on film. The UNC women's basketball coach, Sylvia Hatchell, that she used some racial and sensitive comments. I mean, the list really goes on and on. Those are just to name a few. And to your point, it's like, we know coaches are trying to win ball games, and that's really, really, really important, and that's cool and all. But, at some point, it's like, come on, man. Like, yo, and let's be clear, we're not, yelling at a player to motivate and inspire is truly okay. But if that's really the coach's intention, that's okay. But talking to a player like you hate their guts is just crazy.
Because I'm trying to think too, man. A lot of times you'll have these coaches, right, and they'll have like all these players that talk really high of them, right, and like look at them like a father figure, da da da. But it's like those one or two players that like have to go to therapy more. And it's like, so it's like they get lost in that shuffle of, okay, maybe they couldn't handle it. But it's like, nah, that's still not okay either.
No, that's not okay. Yeah. And then it's like, if you, like, as a player, who do you go to talk to about your coach yelling at you and you feeling a way about it? Because that, in the culture, in the space, that kind of is like, you're soft. You can't take it. And, they're only trying to push you. Coach is a winner, and this is what it takes to win. And you looking like, yo, he just called me a P.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so crazy, man, because I was in a different organization where the hierarchy was kind of set up just like that. Your coach might have been your dean. Your assistant coaches, they might have been your ADPs. And it's like you're that dean or your coach – in that highest level, they weren't supposed to really be that verbally aggressive or abusive towards you. That was other people's role. role of the head person was kind of like, not necessarily be like nurturing, but to more so like be patient.
Yeah, and to kind of bring you along, and kind of be that support system. But just let me ask you this. Name me another job where the boss is yelling and calling its employees outside of their names other than sports. Name me another space where you know the boss can literally get away. Because I'm using this analogy because in my mind, the coaches, the boss, supervisor, whatever call you, whatever you want to call it, and the players are the employees. Name me another situation, another job that a staff member or employee or supervisor or director or whatever can do that and not have an HR problem.
Immediately.
I mean, there is no other space. And so I was reading an article the other day. It was literally called, "Why Do We Allow Verbal Abuse in Sports?" Like, why is it acceptable when it's not acceptable in any other place? And like I said, it's a difference between motivating somebody, like, you know, pushing somebody. If that's the intention, the players feel that. Like, we feel when the coach is, like, just getting on me, because at the end of that, they might, at the end of practice, they might pull you to the side and say, "Hey, come on now. Come on, Drew Johnson. Come on, baby. Like, I got you. Come on, man. I love you, dog. Let's put, you know." But when it's just attack, "You son of a gun. I should have never brought you here. You're not good enough. You son, I'm going to send you back to Fayetteville. Blah, 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 blah."
And it's so crazy, like you said, you having those moments, right, where they're yelling at you, but then they pull you to the side after. That's the part that people forget about. Like, you have to establish that relationship too. Like,
yeah,
that relationship to where, you know, I know we can talk after this. Then, yeah, you're more like, I can take, you know, maybe you being like, "Come on, man, getting together. What's wrong with you today?" Versus if you're just saying that,
right?
What you're saying to me. It's almost like it's quickly going to return to hate.
Yeah. I mean, you think about your son, how you raising your son. I mean, there's times, and me too, like, there's times they get on our nerves, like, and they, or they just aggravate, and you got to discipline them or whatever. But then that's like, really, that might be 10, 20% of the time, if that. But the other time, it's loving. It's like, "Let's go to the park. Let's go to the gym. Let's play this game. Let's read." And so it's the same type of thing, like you said, to your point. There has to be a relationship. Like, I give you a good example of that. Like, Coach Frank Martin at USC, he gets a lot of flack just by his antics on the side of the court, right? Like, he's, like, looking like he just wants to, like, just hurt his players all the time. But then you talk to some of the guys, they're like, "Man, we are at his house all the time." Or he's texting us in the morning, sending us inspirational quotes. Or, you know, like, his office door is always open. They feel like that father-son kind of relationship. So it's like they accept his style of coaching, so to speak, because there's a balance. There's like, you know, I know I could call Coach if I need him.
Gotta have that balance, man, because – like you said, if you're doing all that yelling and I feel like I can't really talk to you off the court, like, I'm going to start to try to avoid you at all times anyway.
And I'm trying to tell you, man, you hate to see him coming or her coming, man. And, I mean, just to kind of go into some of our own truths about our experience with coaches, and I must say, I mean, I've had some – out of all the coaches I've had, I probably had about two or three that I felt like had my best interest. And that's in my lifetime. I played basketball for about 20 years. And so I've had about two or three that, you know, I felt like had my best interest. Like my high school coach, Coach Moon, Chuck Moon, you know, he was a solid dude, treated me with respect. Coach Sam Bailey, Sheldon's dad, who coached us in rec ball. He was awesome. He was cool. And then Coach Timberlake, he coached me in AAU. His son was really good. I forget what university he ended up playing at. Fairleigh Dickerson, I believe, in New Jersey. But they were just solid guys. But, I mean, in college, man, I don't know, man. I can't, and, you know, that's my point, too, is, like, I could lie and say, you know, coaches were my mentors and had a, you know, good impact on me. But that's just not the truth, man. And that's the title of the show. It's like, yo, we get older, man. We grow up, man. Like, you got to chill.
I think I had a really good relationship with my high school coach. Maybe not so much my first college stop, that relationship with that coach and staff. But then at Central, I had a pretty good relationship. Like, I wouldn't say me and the head coach were, like, close, but, like, you know, with the assistant coaches, like, I never feel like they had any ulterior motives.
Right.
I had a couple maybe AAU coaches where I kind of, like, the assistant coach, I would kind of look at them like with, like, a side eye, like, "Man, what's your angle, man?"
Right.
But for the most part, I had good coaches, and I could tell when a coach wasn't sincere.
Absolutely. I mean, you know when a coach is, like, got you. Like they really feel like you really feel like that connection. So it's like you don't mind them like yelling at you or coming at you because you're like, man, they just really want you to be the best version of yourself. And that's cool.
Crazy thing is, man, I used to get mad at my high school coach all the time, man, because he used to be like, I don't care about these wins and losses. I care about you as a person. And I used to be like, what are you gonna win, man?
you be mad at him.
Yeah, but now I look back and I was like, man, he won't think nothing about you know, basketball. He was trying to make me a better person.
Yeah. I mean, and that's good. You don't I mean, that's a blessing you had that. I mean, you kind of wish you had that in college, right? Yeah. So I got a quick story, man. I remember being at my first year. I went to UNC Asheville. That was my first university. And though, you know, when you playing, I mean, at the time they might be mid major now, but they were like considered low major, low D1 or whatever at the time in the Big South Conference. And you know, when you playing low D1, your first 12, 13 games of the season, you playing powerhouses, dog. You playing teams from the Big 12, Big 10, all these schools. So we end up playing, now mind you, we're on like an 8-game losing streak, right? We go to Michigan State. And this is when they had, this is the year after they won the championship in 2000. They had just won the championship. So anyway, I forget Buddy's name, man, but he was a dog. They had about three NBA guys. But anyway, so I'm sitting there on the bench. The game is going on, right? Now, mind, we in Michigan. It's cold as all get out, right? Mm. I'm sitting there, and you know how you're sitting on the bench, and you stretch your legs out, and you kind of like rub your legs and stretch them out real quick or whatever. So I did that, right? And I guess coach was like backing up. And so he tripped over my feet and he kind of tripped. He didn't fall. And then he just kind of tripped. Do you know this son of a gun kicked my feet? He kicked my feet and said, get your. And I looked at my boy, Tommy. Shout out to Tommy, man. What's up, baby? He looked at me and we was like, he's like, yo, I was like, yo, Tommy, you see that? He was like, man, that's crazy, yo. He was like, man, you better than me, dog. I would have turned him down. And so in that moment, I'm just like, yo, this is the same coach that was in my crib, eat my mom's salmon loaf, laughing, smiling, saying he gonna, you know, take care of my baby. And you know, that was just a moment in time. I get it. But I remember that. I was 18, yo. I'm 36 now. I remember that to this day because I'm looking at Buddy like, you kidding me right now?
I remember a very similar story like that. We were in practice my freshman year, and it's towards the end of the season, getting ready for conference tournament time. We're doing like a little defensive shell drill. Mind you, I hadn't really played all season. So comes down to a guy drives, and I should have slid over and taken a charge. Mind you, this guy, I didn't think he liked me anyway. And I'm trying to describe his size for our listeners. He was probably the size of,
he was like Zion to me.
Yeah, let's give him. Yeah, he was Zion.
He was Zion size. I mean, yeah, he was that big.
Coming down the lane, and I saw him, and I was like, you know what? I'm about to slide right out of the way. I move out the way. Coach blows the whistle. It's like, Drew, get the F out of my drill. He's like, you could have took a charge, but you didn't. Because you know why? Because you're an effing P. Coach White been telling you that all year. I look at him like, what? I looked around like, did that just happen? Like, because I felt like this was a really small drill, and that came from the bottom of your soul.
it's like he meant that. He'd been waiting for the right time.
Yeah,
to say that.
I'm like looking around at guys like, so I felt like in middle school, like if somebody said something to you, everybody's like, oh.
It's kind of like when you're in a group setting and you got that one friend or one person in the group and he been getting on your nerves forever. And you like, if he say one more thing, I'm gonna just let it rip. I felt like in that, because I remember that moment, because I'm looking like, yo, did he just call my man's that up?
Thinking like, Coach, we just got started with practice. Like, I don't think anybody was about to take that charge.
No, you're talking about almost a 300-pound dude coming full speed. Who's taking that charge? And to be honest with you, none of them coaches would have took that charge when they was playing at the school in school.
Nah.
And what's crazy is when I transferred to VCU, I thought, you know, things will be different, you know, but, you know, kind of part of the reason why I left was because it wasn't necessarily I wasn't playing enough, because I actually started playing a lot, you know, due to injuries and stuff, and was finding my niche. And I remember after the season, like, I felt real good. You know, like, you know how you have come off your freshman year season and you, like, that summer, you just feeling like right at the season, you feel like it clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it. I mean, in my mind, I was rolling in pickup, and you know, I went and talked to coach about transferring, and I said, and he tried to keep me and tell me that I should, you know, stay and all of that, but I had to get out of there, you know, because it just wasn't the right situation. But anyway, when I got to VCU, I thought things would, you know, be different, you know, and I couldn't be more further from the truth, because I mean, really, the year I sat out, it was all good, man. It was fun, but one of the best years of my life, man. You know, when you transfer back then, you had to sit out. It wasn't no like writing a letter to the NCAA. So I sat out, and it was fun, no pressure. I was getting better, all of that. And as soon as I became eligible to play, it was like just a different kind of tone, different kind of situation. And so, I mean, listen, I could go on and on, but the main thing about the experience was I just felt like disrespected. You know what I mean? I felt like I was being ignored. And I think that's the worst thing as a player. It's not necessarily that you're not playing or you know, whatever. Of course you want to play, but it's the way that it was handled. That was kind of like, yo, you don't fool with me at all. Like, I mean, I'm going to class, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm showing up early, I'm working hard, I ain't giving no problems to teammates. I got good rapport with the guys, everything is love. Like, what's the deal here? And so I think that was the thing that messed me up the most.
It's so crazy, man, when I remember I was in high school again, my coach, he used to be like, hey, when I'm getting on you, it's because I care. He was like, when people don't rock with you, they stop talking to you.
Yeah, that's calm.
I started to see that when I had my freshman year, like, yo, like, not saying, like, getting on me, like, yo, please criticize me, please.
Right, right.
So that, like, that relationship, it could be something little, but, like, you know, not talking to a guy at all. And mind you got to keep in mind, we are around these guys, coaches, man.
90% of the time.
Yeah. So you're the small part of other human interaction I have outside of my teammates. So if you don't talk to me, I know, like, okay, what am I doing? And we think about that the rest of the day. Like, what did I do wrong? What am I doing? Did I do this right? Did he see me when I tried to shoot that cup in the trash can? I missed it. He think I can't. Like, like, you start thinking of the littlest things possible. Like, did he see me talking to somebody that wasn't an athlete, and now I don't look dedicated enough to the sport? Oh,
right. You start thinking about all that. You got to go to class with all this on your mind, man. Listen, speaking of being ignored and all of that, you know, at the end of the season, when you have the postseason meeting with your coaches, and it's just a follow-up of the season, and they meet with you to kind of go over how you need to get better and just reflecting on your year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dog, after my junior year, I, you know, everybody's meeting with the coach. I'd yet to receive however they were communicating, a phone call about when my meeting was. So, I mean, literally, coach had met with everybody, even like the guys that sat out that year, right? So I'm like, you know, where's my meeting? Because I'm looking forward to the meeting so I can have that attention for that moment, like that individual time to kind of get some stuff off my chest, not in a crazy way, but just kind of talk it out, man to man, and, you know, trying to come to some resolution or whatever, right? No phone call, no nothing. So finally, I go to Coach Brooks. I'm like, and at the time, he's the director of operations or whatever he was. I forget his title, but he was on the staff. I'm like, man, when am I going to get my meeting? well, coach is on a recruiting trip or he goes out tomorrow. So when he gets back, so I was like, okay, that's kind of weird though, right? I ain't tripping. I said, okay.
I feel like, hey, man, like, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, everybody, he met with everybody else, right? So, you know, he comes back from his trip, I guess, because I, you know, at this time I'm walking by, you know, where the coaches used to park. I'm like on some psycho stuff now. Like, yo, when this dude, come on now. So I see his car outside. I'm like, yo. So I literally go up to his office. I'm like, hey, you know, you got time to meet. He like sends me away and, you know, says like, you know, not, he got some stuff going on. And I'm like, okay. Now, mind you, when I walked in there, he was just sitting there with his feet kicked up watching the field. So eventually I get a meeting with him and I'm talking to him and I'm like, listen, man, you know, I know it's kind of been crazy, the dynamics of this situation, da 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 da. And, you know, I, at the end of the day, you know, I just want this to be right. You know, we family. You know, I'm talking to him like a coach with a player. Like, I'm in reverse mode. I'm talking like the adult in the room. And this dude was not giving me hardly any eye contact. He was like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And I'm just like, and all he said was, you know, you just got to get better. So I walked out of the office and I was like, nah, this ain't going to sit right with me. I said, I got to go talk. I got to go back in there. So I turn around, I go back in. And I'm like, I was like, can you explain, like, get better, like, specifics? Because, I mean, you know, well, you know, you just got to get better. You're not better than so-and-so. You're not better than so-and-so. You're not better than so-and-so. I'm like, whoa.
I'm making you mad.
No, I'm like, wait a minute. No, what you talking about? So I'm like, I didn't say I was better, but I just said I feel like I could contribute. Man, it went south so quick, man, to a point where it was like intentional. He was letting me know, like, don't talk to me, yo. Don't like, you don't have the right. Like, you know, you need to just, you know, sit back and just be glad you. And I'm like, yo, man. So in that moment, I said, I'm okay. I got it. Message clear.
Dang, because I'm thinking back too, man, to, you know, my meeting like that. And the crazy thing was, like, I actually had like a really, I feel like a really, well, it wasn't a great meeting, but it was like, it motivated me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with head coaches, man, you can really inspire your players with just a matter of like a few words. Mm-hmm. Like, I can remember in my meeting freshman year, I was like, okay, at least I feel like I'm wanted. Okay, I could. Okay, boom. I stayed on campus all summer. Like, I didn't go home. I took class summer school. I was just working out every day. Boom, 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 boom. Man, I felt like I literally was all like, this is about to be the year. I'm gonna go to the tournament, and I'm gonna leave early. I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, D Wade, right? Kentucky, triple double. Like, let's go. And I can remember at the end of the year, Coach sent me this letter. It was like it's like a little VCU letter, but it was like handwritten, like, oh, man, Drew, you've been doing such good work over the summer. I'm so proud of you. Man, do you know, I felt like on 10, like, as far as like, let's go, baby. Like, yo, man, Coach, he sees me.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, mind you, that had a really good impact on me, but, man, first day of practice, it went all down the bucket. But just that impact coaches can have on you, man. Like,
yeah,
it's they're really like your dad, kind of. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you always want to impress your dad, right? You always want your dad to be proud of you.
Yeah, yeah.
But in those moments when you feel like you made him proud, you feel like a 10. And then in those moments where you feel like they don't care about you or you let them down, it can throw your whole day off.
Yeah, because, like, to your point, you know, we spend a 90-95% around our time with our team and coaches included, and like, you're not at home. So, like, for me, you know how close I am with my folks, and so their word was like everything to me. And so now that I don't have that every day, I mean, of course I can pick up the phone. You know, you're around your coaches, so the coach naturally takes that father or mother figure or big aunt or big cut, whatever you want to call it, but it's like who you look to for guidance now. And when you feel like that person does not have your back, I mean, it is torture for somebody when you're 18 to 22 year old, when you're still developing, you're still so impressionable. I mean, it's a bad situation.
We're not even talking about playing.
No, we're not talking about that at all.
that with him. So I can remember. So this is why this is so crazy to me, man. You know how a guy will talk to a girl, sweet talk to a girl, girl feeling, oh my God, oh, this guy's great. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 weeks later, he walks right by, doesn't even look at her. And you're like, what just happened? I thought, oh. And that's kind of how it happened with me, man. Like I can remember one time, I didn't have a great relationship with my dad. And so I can remember one time he just popped up at a game. I'm like, what? And then I can remember hours after the game, coach calls me. He's like, hey, I just wanted to check, see if he was all right. You know, I said, I know you should pop up at the game tonight. And I was like, you noticed that? Okay. Like, so then the goal from like, oh, dang, that's what's up, man. Thank you. To walking by me and trying not to make eye contact with me. Like, yo, I thought we were going steady. What's going on?
But that little check-in with you, that solidified that he cared. Like, that little, like, let me check on my guy because he knew your family dynamic. Let me check on my man, make sure he's good.
So now you're not talking like, hey, man, why are you playing with my emotions like this?
Right, exactly. Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's one thing as a person that is grown all the way up now. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing I hate. One of the regrets that I have is that I didn't have, like, I would love to be able to pick up the phone right now and call my college coach on some, like, yo, man, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you pouring into me, investing in me. And like you said, it's not even about the plan. It's not about me not making it to the league or pro ball. It's more like at that time, I feel like the coaches, and this is to all the coaches out there, and just talking to some student athletes in Texas, and they were sharing some of their stories about their coach and player dynamic and relationship. It's like, I just wish that they would have just pulled me in and mentored me, right? And just said, hey, listen, you know, you know, you're doing the best you can out there. That's great. And now looking back, if I didn't play, that's fine. But it's like, help me understand my other gifts, my other things that might help me the long, you know, long term. Or, you know, if you saw coaching in my future, if you saw this in my future, because, you know, as now as educators, right, we see students all the time and we're like, yo, hey, I see this potential. So you might be majoring in this, man, but have you ever thought about this? And I'm not saying change your major, but love, yo, you got a gift. You got some charisma, man. You got some things. Like, I just wish that I would have had somebody out of all the coaches. They didn't have to be the head coach, but, you know, the head coach got the juice. But just to say, hey, you know, man, you all right. You're going to be all right. I know this situation is what it is. And I could have lived with that. I could have been totally, you know, fine with that instead of you ignore me, you know. When you did talk to me, it was like you hated my guts.
Yeah, it's like, man, it's like when I'm talking to you, it's kind of like that girl who's asking the guy, why aren't we working out? And the guy's already moved on to another girlfriend. He's looking at, what do you want? I told you it was over.
I know. You like, man, get out of here.
I think it's really that emotional connection, man, is really important with coaches and players at that level. But I think, you know, to not get so focused on wins and losses, because that emotional piece, it carries a lot of weight that you don't really think it does at the time.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the other quick little story, man, my senior year, I remember going home. You remember for Christmas break, you were gone, but Christmas break, you only get, like, as a basketball player, you only get, like, 3 days for the Christmas break. You get like Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then you got to be back like the day after Christmas. That's the way ours worked anyway. So I went back home, Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it was a bad like snowstorm coming, right? So it didn't snow the day I got home, but it snowed like, you know, Christmas Day. It was like one of the rare times it snowed, and then it like was real bad, like the roads were real bad. So we had practice the day after Christmas at like 2 or 3. I can't remember the time. So, you know, I used to tote like Sam, Kootenai, Jamal was like, we would like meet up and cause he drove too. And we ended up being on the road at the same time. We just, you know, hit the road. So typically it takes 3 hours to get from Fayetteville to Richmond. Dog, it took us 13 and a half hours to get home. Because the roads were so bad. You know, it was snow, it was ice, it was black ice, it was wrecks on the road. It was crazy. It took us 13 hours. So while we on the road, our phones, we had our little Nokia phones, you know what I'm saying, our little flip phones, and our phones are dying. We had no car charger like that. I remember I rear-ended a dude, hit the back of his car. I mean, it was crazy, no problem, but it was just like I slid a little bit. I mean, it was a crazy experience. Like, we had to run out, get out the car, run and go use the bathroom, come back to the car. Like, it was times where we didn't move for like an hour or two. We just stand still. Yeah. So we trying to call coach, and coach is calling us, Coach Brooks or whoever was calling us. We like, look, man, we stuck. We can't move. We can't do nothing. Never really asking us, really, how y'all doing? Are you okay? None of that. Just like, where you at? Where y'all ain't at practice? So I'm like, man, why are you tripping? So we ended up getting back to school probably at like, I want to say like 4 or 5 in the morning, man. True story. This is a true story. We had practice at like, they told us, the guys that didn't make it to the, because we missed practice that day. So we had practice the next day at like 8 in the morning. They told us to be there at 8 in the morning. We off like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. So we get to the gym, we notice we the only people there. So I'm like, wait a minute. So we there, we dressed out. It's cold, dog. Siegel said it's cold as whatever that morning. So I'm like kind of freezing my tail off. So I'm there. And we had to get there early because they put us through a workout. Because we missed the day before. So the story gets better. So about 9:30, 10 o'clock, the rest of the guys come in the gym. So I'm like, oh, they played us. Like, they told us to be there 2 hours early than the other guys. So the other guys come in. You know, by this time, we're in a little sweat or whatever. So we, you know, coach blow the whistle. He pulls us, like, we have, like, a team meeting on the court right there. We sit down on the bleachers. So coach is like, so, you know, we had some guys yesterday that missed because, you know, they were at home and, you know, spending time with their family and while the rest of y'all was here. And, you know, why'd y'all miss? Just left it open. And so nobody said nothing. None of us said anything. So we was like, I think somebody was like, you know, it was snowing. Somebody spoke up, but it was like, the roads are bad. He was like, well, y'all couldn't leave the day before? this my man. Now, Mike Nice, you know you my man. You my man. But this was a moment I looked at you kind of crazy. Mike Knight, so coach was like, Mike, why'd you get here on time? Why'd you get here when you did? Mike Knight hit him with the Hollywood joint, because I'm dedicated. I look down the road, Mike Knight, this is my roommate, dog. This is my man. This is my guy. I'm looking down at the bench like, dude, I know you ain't just say that, right? So, I mean, that whole story is just a testament of how, like, they didn't ask ever about our safety. They didn't care. It was all about being there. I'm looking like, dude, I ain't even play. Why are you getting on me? Like, whether I'm here or not, you don't act like you care anyway. Why are you tripping?
And mind you, I want to say this is at least, what, 10 plus years ago, right?
Man, this was in 2006. Yeah, this is 14 years ago.
You think, man, technology is not what it was then that it is now. So I was thinking, like, you know, now, you know, being mature adults, we can see things 3 or 4 days in advance. So we could be like, okay, dad, go home. But that guy, they say it's a big blizzard coming.
Yeah.
Let me communication with the coach. Let him know. Hey, I don't know. What should we do?
Right.
You know, like, just as far as like, yeah, why didn't they leave a day early? Should just came back early. Like, it was kind of like, I feel like, yo, there's always got to be that humane factor.
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at him like, dog, ain't nobody going to leave on Christmas Day to come to the crib when you ain't seen your family. It's like the one time a year because you don't go home for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So I'm looking at him like, dude, you know I'm not fit to leave on Christmas Day. I just ate a whole sweet potato pie and get in the car.
Because I'm thinking now, like, yo, we work with students, man, and certain stuff be happening. Like, we'll have a little snow stuff here. And I'd be like, yo, don't worry about coming to campus today for a meeting. You know, just be safe out there. Mm-hmm. I'll send you everything that you need to have, and we'll catch up next week. Don't worry about it. Just make sure your safety's the number one concern.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, if I miss a meeting with a student because the weather's bad, the roads are bad, like, I won't say the next time, I guess they ain't really, guess they don't want to be here, man. Guess they ain't not dedicated. It's like, nah.
as an adult, now that we're in, you know, in our mid-30s or whatever, I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't care if I'm coaching or not, and I know coaching, the culture and how you can go into coaching being a good guy, but it changes you because it becomes about winning and the pressure and all that. I can't imagine talking to anybody the way we got talked to, or treating, not even talked to. Let's just say, I can't imagine treating anybody the way that some of these coaches treated us, or the way coaches treat players, because it's like, dude, like, imagine treating your students the way coach at VCU treated you.
Man, dog, I'd probably be on the news. Definitely wouldn't have a job. I mean, just because that's why I think the one thing about this generation, man, they know they're not having that, and they know they have a voice. They know, like, yo, you know what? I got receipts on all this, and I'm about to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
I thought, like, we were just scared to speak up back in our day, like, but so that's one of the things I kind of look at the students today, like, man, I'm really happy y'all have that because I was scared to do that.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If we were playing today with the net, with the technology, and feeling empowered, and having all the resources student athletes have today, and we were being treated the way we were treated back then, would you say something?
You know what, man? The crazy thing is, I don't know if I would have been like went to like the media or something, but I feel like if I could like take myself how I am now, I feel like I would have walked into a room and like, hey, man, close this door. I just want to have a talk with you real quick, man to man. Let me know what's going on. Like, just in having that confidence to be able to like, I could take bad news, I could take good news, but I need some kind of news right now.
Yes.
And I'm not gonna let you just sugarcoat it. Like, yo, just tell me what's on your mind. Let's hash this out.
Yeah, man. I feel the same way, man. I feel like in my situation specifically, I don't know if I would have said anything on social media, and I don't think the players are doing that, just because they still on scholarship, and they still are in a part of this team, and you don't family, and you don't talk to anybody outside the family kind of dynamic. But for me, man, I just would have. I just wish I would have done more to advocate for myself. And I mean, I just literally got to a point where I was just like, man, it don't matter what I do, it don't matter what I say. It's just what this is. And I kind of accepted it. But I think at that time I had to, for my own peace, man, because if not, you know me better than anybody. Like, I don't, I ain't saying talking tough right now, but I just don't put up with a lot of nonsense. I just can't. That's just not my, I just can't do it. And so I just wish I would have, been more of an advocate for myself, whatever that would have looked like. But you just feel so helpless, man. You feel like, it is what it is because coach said it, and then you're looking around to the players, and you don't want to be that guy that's, that's complaining, and everybody else seems happy. I mean,
Felt like I was on I felt like I was on Shawshank, but he was all like, put your trust in the Lord. The rest belongs to me. So I felt that. I was like, yo, what is going on here?
Man, I'm telling you, man. I mean, it was just so many times, man. I got so many stories of just feeling like, yo, man, like, is this really happening to me?
And the crazy thing, we're not talking about no minutes being played. We're not talking nothing about on the court.
No, man. We
We're
just.
not talking about, yo, I should have been hooping, bro. I could be in the league. We're not talking about none of that. We're literally saying, fam, you walking by me those thousands of times really affected me.
Dog, like straight up, it really did. Because, I mean, part of me, because of the experience I had, really deterred me from wanting to coach. And I feel like for me, I would put my basketball knowledge and how to play. I mean, I prided myself as a player on being smarter than anybody on the court, but even like post, I just feel like even when I'm watching a game, I feel like I see things, or I feel like I could be a good coach because of my, just my knowledge, but then how I am with people. And I feel like I can motivate people. But then I'm just like, because of my experience, I'm like, man, I don't want to become that. Like, and because I'm super competitive too. So I'm like, I don't want to become the guy that winning is just more important than how I'm treating people.
I look at games, man, and the crazy thing, I don't even really look at the scores or like the plays. I look at people's I look at their facial like their body language on the bench, right? And I've been thinking like, man, wish I could talk to
I
that
know.
guy. Look at people like, you got a lot of pain behind those eyes, brother. What's
A
going on?
lot of pain. I sometimes I'll be looking at players too, and when they go back to the huddle and the coach is doing whatever. And I'm just thinking, like, I remember being that guy. I remember being that guy that's faking it. Like, let me get my hand here. Or like, if somebody scores, let me stand up and clap because I don't want to remember in films. Like, look at everybody standing up, guys, but this guy right here.
Oh, it's impacted me too. Like I'll see student athletes around. So you remember back when we played, whenever we would see somebody that was outside of the team, they'd always talk to you like, well, how's the game going, man? How y'all do? They never asked you how you were doing, right? And so I kind of make that a point now when I see athletes, what's up, man? How you doing? Okay. Like if I knew a guy, he might be from out of this country, but how's everything going, man? How you like it over here so far? Okay, what's up, man? I never asked them, what happened in the game? Like, never ask about the game just because they got enough of that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, how you doing today, man? You know, family all right? Okay, that's what's up, man. Enjoyed everything else? Like, and they don't need to know about the game they just lost by 20. They know they lost by 20.
I know. They got front row seats and to see how they lost by 20. How many coaches in your lifetime? I'm just there thinking. I never had a coach. I mean, let me not ask the question. I'll just say I never had a coach in college ask me what I wanted to do after school. Never. Mm. Ever. Or ask me just like, how you doing? How you doing?
I think that's one of the things I started to see, man, as I got older. I was like, yo, I started looking around like, guys, like, what are y'all about to do? Like, we're not going to the league. What are you about to do? Like, it's like, what do you got going on?
And
it was never really it wasn't really a conversation, man. Like, no one, I don't remember people even asking me my major.
No.
Because, I don't really, there were really no talks about what's going on. I mean, they would sell us this dream of like, hey, this guy, he's an agent. He's looking for players. You know, there's a tryout this camp. But it was never hey y'all, okay, I'll see y'all. Well, seniors, make sure I'm there at graduation, check y'all out. Like, yeah, that's kinda, I don't remember that.
I don't either. And I think that's the point of this episode, man, is like, you know, if you're coaching out there, like you got to take that serious, and it can't be all about wins and losses. Like, you need to check in on your 12th guy, your 11th guy. It can't just be about your 1 through 7 guys that are out there playing a 1 through 8, whatever your system is. You gotta check on everybody. If you can't do that, if you can't be in that leadership position and really hold it to the highest regard and be that mentor, leader, you know, whatever that case may be, if you're all about wins and losses, you in the wrong profession, man, because you are damaging these young people. I don't care what level you coaching, but specifically college, you cannot just, you know, ignore your guys or your ladies. You can't do that.
Man, I think, too, I always try to see, like, what kind of positive outcome that this have. And I be thinking, too, which with us all the time, I'll be like, man, if someone says something or they don't say something, I just be like, you think this is bad? Join the club, man. We got jackets. Like, as far as, like, this is about to get to me.
Yes.
Man, this is nothing. Or you think you're telling me off right now?
Right.
I got a story. Tell me how much time you get.
Yes, man. I mean, that is the positive way of looking at it, because life has been so much better once I was removed from that space. I mean, of course. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, the great thing is, like, you can't look at it like, well, shoot, man, y'all two made it. It's one of those, like, hey, no. Because that could have went left so fast.
And
a lot of kids, it has. Like, you see this dude's getting arrested and doing all this crazy stuff and lashing out and fighting people, and it's like, that ain't just... That just happened in that moment. That's kind of built up.
That's built up. I mean, when we're going around speaking, you know, part of my story is, like, because of what was going on the court, it did have an impact on me. So I started going to the clubs. I started partying. I started, you know, drinking more than I should. I mean, I'm okay with sharing that story because I know somebody out there is going through it. The message in that story is, don't do that. Like, go talk to somebody. Like, by the grace of God, you know, somebody was praying for me. Like, you know, whoever that was, and I was able to get out of that funk. But I was in that funk, you know, for a long time, man, to the point where, you know, that was, you talking about basketball was a part of my identity. That became a part of my identity. And so that all stemmed from my lack of having basketball part of my life. Because I went from the guy that was super serious, super analytical, watching film all the time, always about the game, to, man, where we at tonight? You know what I'm saying? And so,
you went from, like, that guy to your voicemail be like, this is Cape.
Whatever. Dog, I'm telling you, man. And I mean, I look at it too, like, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything, because I met you, I met Meg, I met Doles, I met Dom, I met my teammates. I got 2 degrees out of it. You know, I mean, hell, we got a podcast now talking about it. So, you know, it was all for a reason. And that's why I'm so glad we got this platform to talk about it. And that goes back to the title of the show. Hey, coaches, man, we eventually grow up, dog. You got to be careful out here. You got to be careful how you're treating people, because we got platforms now to pull your card. And we not making nothing up. This is all true. This is all, like, you listening to 2 guys that have been through some of the craziest things. And we just happen to come out clean on the other side. And we always talk, Drew, we always laugh, like, the Antoine Fisher joint, like, I'm still standing. I'm still strong. You, no matter what you did, you couldn't break me.
And it'd be that one scene that we just always remember, like, boy, this is, it hits home, because we'll see like specials on players who will be talking about, like, coaches they had to deal with and how they had to go to therapy and how, like, they couldn't go outside for 2 years. And you hear, like, their spouses talking about, like, you know, how they this, da, 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 and, like, it'd be sad, like, dang. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's some people who really struggle.
They're still struggling.
Yeah, and so it's just one of those, like, man, you're starting to see it now as far as coaches being held more accountable, but it's still not to the point where it needs to be.
Nah, and to all the athletes out there, the current ones, like, if you're going through anything we talked about, or you feeling a way about your situation with your coaches, and everywhere we've gone, man, players have come up to us talking about potentially transferring, and it's usually the coach. It's never the school. It's really ever the school. It's always the coach-player dynamic, by the way. Mm-hmm. To any players out there going through anything, listen, the best advice I think we would both give you is to take care of yourself. You know, whatever that might look like, whether it's staying, transferring, do not just, you know yourself, whatever that look like. And I'm not talking about transferring because, you know, coaches, you know, you're a freshman and you're not playing 30 minutes. Like, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about feeling like the coach that recruited you sold you a dream, and he or she is not fulfilling their end of the bargain. That's what I'm talking about.
That's more so like, how do you feel emotionally?
Yes, like, mentally, emotionally, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you know, things can turn around as far as you plan, right? You know, you never know, right? They always say, you know, be ready. You know, you never know when you get your shot. But, like, how do you feel emotionally? Like, if you had 30 tomorrow night, do you still think your coach would care about you more as personal, or just like, okay, you had a good game?
Exactly. Which one is it? And, I mean, you have to ask yourself that question, because this could be the difference between you, like, being successful and being okay post school, post undergrad, or you, like, not graduating, or, you know, going into some type of substance abuse, or, I mean, it's not to get, you know, that might sound like really far-fetched, but it happens all the time. I mean, we got former teammates, we know guys that play major D1 ball or sports, and they are literally, like, lost out here. And if you talk to them, eventually they're going to tell you, man, they feel like the coach jerked them. it's not always about the playing. It's more so like they just feel like their coaches weren't there for them. And so sometimes you can't recover. But we're telling you, you can recover. But while you're there, you don't have to go through that.
Yeah, you got to move yourself from that space. I'm thinking about when I transferred, I wasn't really like, yo, I'm not playing 30 minutes a game. It was more so like, I don't even think I could play here. I don't even everything. I felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds. I couldn't move. I was just like, just sad. Like, man, it's cold. Yes. It seemed like it's coldest days when you're just like in those moods. Like, and really, I just felt like it wasn't like people were bullying me. I just felt like no one cared if I was there.
Yes, man.
Nothing like coming into a room and not feeling noticed.
Yeah, or nobody even speaks to you. Or when they do, it's like in a sarcastic way. Like, you know, you remember the time we both like shaved our facial hair? That was like the dumb, I don't know why we did that, but we just did it being stupid. We were bored. It must have been during winter break or something stupid. And we walked in the gym and the first thing coach said was, well, what y'all pledging, man? And just kind of walked off. And I'm like, yo, man. Like, I mean, and you know, that we might have been highly sensitive at the time but when somebody ain't talked to you in weeks, and that's all they say, and walk off. Yeah, I'm a little sensitive too. Like,
all I can think about is like a girl that you may have known, and you don't ever say nothing to her. And one day she changed her hair, you be like, "That's an ugly ass look." Like, you know how that could affect her?
Man, dog. You know,
I'm like, yo, that is rude, sir.
That is rude. You would be like, yo, what if I throw these in your face?
It's just crazy now thinking back on this stuff.
I mean, this episode really, man, I mean, I got so many stories and, you know, we might have to do a part two of this, man, because, and this is not a pity party. This is not us just complaining and feeling like whatever. This is really just because of the traveling we've done, some of the things we've learned, and just our own truths. We just wanted to share how we're feeling, how we felt, how we came out okay, you know, but it's still, as guys that have lived a little bit, it's still like on our minds how that, like Drew, you were saying, it could have went left real. It almost went left for me a couple of times. Like I came real close to just being like losing it all, you know, just on some, just feeling emotional and just feeling like angry, you know what I mean? So, you know, this is really for the listeners out there that are going through something in that regard. So just hang in there, man. You know, again, take care of yourself, whatever that looks like. Be safe. Don't get out of character. Don't body slam your coach. We not saying that. Don't necessarily cuss them out. But know you do have a voice. You do have platforms. Handle it like a grown woman or man. And take care of yourself. At the end of the day, if it's that bad, maybe you don't need to play sports anymore. And you might be like, well, I'm on scholarship. It's the only way I'm in school. Hey, listen, there's plenty of ways you can go to school and scholarships and opportunities. So don't feel like you're stuck because your sport is paying for your school. So anything else, big dog, did we miss?
Nah, man, we Gucci. Good.
Gucci. Well, we appreciate y'all listening, man. I can't wait to get to Charlotte because I think – I'm going to Charlotte this weekend. We're going to be talking a little bit about this stuff too there at CIAA. And so looking forward to continuing the conversation. So I'm Kate.
I'm Drew.
We'll catch y'all next time.